You're listening to Reed Martin Basso Upstaged, featuring Ruthie Pangolino.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook.
Okay, can I go get him now?
Yeah, he's there. Yeah, but he's calling you.
No, I said I was going to call him. I was going to give him 5 minutes and then call him.
Well, don't leave him waiting. Call him.
Oh, for God's sake.
Go, call him.
Thank you for holding.
Thank you for holding.
With you, right with you.
Hello?
Yes.
She wasn't there.
Oh.
That's okay. I left a voicemail. I said, look, we'll reschedule. I did like your trail mix. Two ingredients, M&M and disappointment.
God damn it. I was like shuffling through it this morning and I was like, fuck, there's nothing in here except healthy shit now. I guess I'll eat some banana chips. That's about the next closest thing in trail mix is going to be deep fried banana chips. All right. I'll have those. After this, I guess I'll go for the disgusting white yogurt cluster thing.
Oh, are those yogurt-covered raisin kind of? That's disgusting.
So they're like, I think it's carob. Oh, God. I'm like, what is this crap that my wife buys?
Hold on, let me just see if this is them, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, on the phone, we have the wonderful Dennis Nahas, who has been a part of the art scene in the South Bay for how long, Dennis?
Oh, well over 28 years now.
Yeah. You and your organizations have been in the arts experience here in San Jose. So thank you for that, first of all. And you've done some really interesting, very successful ventures in the arts. Tell us about San Jose Cleveland Ballet or Cleveland San Jose Ballet, depending on where you're from.
The ballet, as it were, since I've been doing it for the last 45 years, I started in Cleveland, Ohio, when I started a school. And then from the school, a company emerged, and then we became the fifth largest ballet company in 5 years in Cleveland, Ohio. And some 10 years later, we merged with the city of San Jose, creating the longest co-venture company in the United States, in that we performed in two cities. We were bi-coastal. Traveled back and forth for over 15 years. And then Cleveland, the Cleveland end, or the home, the hub of the company closed after a 30-year run. And we moved everything to the West Coast, to San Jose. And we became Ballet San Jose, Silicon Valley. Today it is known as Ballet San Jose. But for many of your listeners, and as you know, I am no longer with Ballet San Jose as of a year ago to date, actually.
Wow.
So I am not with the ballet any longer. And so for the last year, I've been doing projects all over the world and in San Jose as well.
Can you share with the listeners a little bit about your experience going international now and taking the ballet experience from America to China and then what you are able to take from China and bring that back to America?
Actually, it's theater. I've been working a
lot. Theater. I used to
that's
I
okay.
One thing. Let me redo that.
No, that's okay. Fine. Because the ballet is part and partial of what I've been doing. It just happens that I turned everything into a theater because I've been producing so many different kinds of shows, not just ballet. And in particular, I've been working with the Dalia Northeast Regional Acrobatic Troupe, which has a very small ballet element in their school, not a major part, but it now has become a professional ballet institution as well because of the show that I created for them called Yulan. And so I've been using my theatrical background in that I've done a lot of Broadway and theater and musicals, plus ballet, of course, and used their wonderful talent and created a internationally based idea that would expose much of the talent in China, or if not all of it, as much as possible, because there's so much there. But the problem was content, and what they required me to do was to create a work that would utilize as many of the talents in China as that I could muster up and put together. And so it's like a little child in a candy shop. I was, you know, utilizing everybody and anything that I could from the entire nation.
But that's an interesting thing you bring up about content. Because it's been a conversation that Reed and I have been having is about content that reaches an Asian audience. And with the San Jose area being 32% Asian, what kinds of things did you learn that you can actually teach us now and how to program and bring them into our theaters and all of that information?
I think what everybody has to understand also is that, when, especially here, when we see a show that comes from China, one always thinks it's a folk dance company or something that is very Chinese. In that sense, we're making a big mistake, because what many of the productions that come or that I've been working on with them are international in their idea and concept. They're not specifically Chinese themes. They're human themes. And the artists there are international in their abilities as well. And so it's not a folk dance company producing a show of its region. And I think many people that go to see a Chinese or hear about a Chinese show or a production say, oh, that's just from the region and it's for the Chinese only. But it's not. It's like one of our Broadway musicals. If it's a good one, it reaches everybody and anybody worldwide. And so my chore was to create an event that could reach anyone anywhere in the world to look at it and understand it and relate to it and have it accessible to their culture as well. It just so happens to be produced in China.
So you're taking contemporary themes with compelling storytelling, and you are building that on the framework of traditional dance. Let's look at something that is very specific to San Jose, technology to create relevant art.
The technological point of view is paramount, because much of the technology that we devise here in the Silicon Valley is actually built in China. We have the state-of-the-art equipment accessible in China, things that I could do there that I couldn't find here or even do here or even afford to do here, which is amazing. And so technically, the show that I put together is light years away from what I would have been able to produce here without having millions and millions of dollars to do it in the United States. The cost is so different, so vastly different, and the equipment is available in a totally different manner. The talent pool that I was able to assemble in one city from the entire country. I had my composers from Los Angeles. The lighting designers came from Japan and Shanghai. The designers from Shenyang, from the Liaoning province. There's flying rigging, there's state-of-the-art lighting equipment, there's sound equipment. All assembled in one city in Dalian. Technically, very difficult to do here in the United States. So it's a whole different way of going about it. You can do it, and I've done it, but it costs. We recorded the new commission score by Paul Sierra in Beijing with the Beijing National Symphony. That took 10 days to do. How could I possibly have done something like that here without it costing the whole budget of a city? What audiences now expect is a far greater presentation. Their eyes, you know, are very tuned to your computer. You see things on your computer screens and television that are 1 second flashes and the color and the vibrance of what we have right at our desk. So when you go to the theater, if it's bland and boring, rule number one, don't bore. And so you have to put on the stage things that are actively exciting to watch, that the color is vibrant, that the lighting is as bright as a video screen. That what's changed is the technical aspect of what happens on the stage. I heard a child coming out of one of my Nutcracker performances a year ago. She was so excited. She said, "Mommy, Mommy, I loved watching that movie." It was a live performance. But because the stage looked so vibrant, there was a huge eye-opener for the child. You can't let anything go. If there's a little wrinkle in the curtain and I see it, then 10 other people are going to see it. But we've got to look at every aspect of what's on the stage. Everything about it is an experience.
Dennis Nahat began his training in Detroit, Michigan, at the age of 8 under the direction of Enid and Jeff Ricardo and Kay Bliss at the Ricardo Studios. At age 17, he was awarded a full scholarship in dance and minored in music at the Juilliard School of Music, while continuing his training under the guidance of Martha Hill, Martha Graham, Jose Limon, and other notables. In 1965, Nahat joined the newly formed City Center Joffrey Ballet, and from 1966 to 1968, performed in the original Broadway musical, Sweet Charity, with Gwen Verdon. He joined the American Ballet Theater in 1968, and performed there through 1979 as a principal dancer. While there, Nahat created 5 new works. Nahat co-founded the School of Cleveland Ballet in 1972 and Cleveland Ballet in 1976 with the late Ian Emile Horvath. In 1983, Nahat became sole artistic director and in 1985 created the co-venture between San Jose, California and Cleveland, Ohio. The San Jose Cleveland Ballet performed full seasons in both communities for 15 years, the longest co-venture in the United States. After Cleveland Ballet closed, it was reborn as Ballet San Jose Silicon Valley in October 2000. Now, Ballet San Jose. Dennis Nahat served as its founding artistic director until January of 2012. Now, you have a large presence in Cupertino, right, Dennis?
Well, we have a wonderful school called Theater Ventures International Ballet School and Production. We have classes that are professional classes and beginner classes, adult classes, technique classes, point classes. A nonprofit organization, and I was invited to open the school at the Chinese Performing Arts Center of America, which is in San Jose. They had been talking to me for over 10 years, and I created the new Theater Ventures International Ballet School and Production. So actually, ULAM was part of the process of my doing these productions here in the United States as well. The school just opened for this spring, and it goes through May 31st, and our performance now for the school will be in June on the 1st. It is an exciting prospect again.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Artistic Director Dennis Nahat. Dennis, thank you so much for the opportunity to sit down and chat with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You're listening to Reed Martin Basso Upstaged featuring Ruthie Pongy Leanon. What do you want to say to Reed Basso? I updated your message. Ready to send it?
Yes.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook.